Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And with us today, our guest is Kate Webster, the Education Outreach Coordinator for Child Advocacy Center of McHenry County. Kate, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you so much.
So, what's new with the CDC, Kate?
Well, we are super busy over at the CAC. In this last year, since we moved into our new building in Crystal Lake, we have had over 500 children walk through our doors. And so, you know, most of those are children that were interviewed and part of our whole process. So that's a lot of kids in 1 year that, you know, on one hand, thankfully, the alleged abuse is being reported. And on the other hand, it's sad that there's that many kids that are living, you know, in possible abuse type situations.
Sure, sure. As far as your overall numbers in review, for the year, what does that look like in total, Kate?
So that's the number of a little bit over 500. We count them based off of how many children walk through our door, and the amount of children that walk through our door was a little over 500. And so what we're seeing with that is a lot of the kids, a lot of the cases that are coming in are what we would call the technology-facilitated crimes, you know, where kids are involved in some way, whether that's them being videotaped, pictures of them being taken and disseminated, maybe children taking photos of themselves, sending them to who they thought was a child, and it's actually an adult, and then that person is sending them out or posting them on websites, children being recorded without their knowledge, or, they can't consent to that, but without their knowledge of even being recorded. So we've seen a lot of cases that have to do with technology.
So it starts with social media?
It can. Yep. We see a lot of like our preteens and our teenagers are coming in and they have access to social media and they're being easily exploited through social media. So whether they think that they're talking to a child and they're actually talking to an adult, and then that adult exploits them, and then threatens them once photos have been sent or whatever, you have to send me more photos or I'm going to share it to your whole, you know, youth group. And so then that child feels that they have to send more explicit photos or videos or whatever to meet the demands of what that person is asking.
And their parents are totally unaware of what's going on.
Usually, yeah. Unfortunately, the kids are so smart with these different apps, and they know how to hide them. Apparently, there's like ways on your phone to create a completely separate phone within your phone, and like a parent would never know. They wouldn't know the code to access it. Like, I swear, every time law enforcement comes to the CAC, they're telling us of a new app that the kids have found of a way to communicate. Not to put it on the kids, it's really, you know, these predators are creating these new apps and new ways and gaining access to our kids, and our kids are being kids and being curious and, you know, aren't thinking things through as they don't know how to. Their brains aren't fully formed yet. So we're always learning of new things, new apps.
So are those some of the new trends you're seeing taking place?
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing some new trends. I would say the technology trends have always been there or been there for a while. But at the CAC, I feel like cases kind of come in waves sometimes. There's times that we'll have a lot of, you know, alleged offenders within the same home, or we'll have siblings as the alleged offenders, you know, to their younger siblings and whatnot. And we've seen a lot more of the crimes where technology is involved. And it's everywhere. My child goes to a private school, and so you think maybe they're a little safer, right, at a
Sure.
private school. That's kind of naive thinking, but you hope maybe. And my child just came home this week and was talking about a child that was using an app, and on that app, you know, this child in her grade, somebody was sending explicit messages to this child through this app that parents either they don't know about or they think it's a safe app. And this child, had access to pornography that she was able to view because this person had sent it. They gained the trust of this child. So it's literally everywhere. It does not matter if it's private school, public school, homeschool, they're everywhere.
Are you seeing it primarily in McHenry County?
I mean, that's where, that's the only numbers that we run is McHenry County, because that's where our CAC is. But from what I hear, when I sit in on meetings with other CACs across the state, even across the nation, that it's everywhere. There's times that the law enforcement will come in and they'll say, you know, that someone was speaking to a child, and that adult, once they track down, I don't know all the technology stuff, but once they track down that person was in another country, or that person was in another state, and they're communicating with children from McHenry County. So it's everywhere.
Are there things you could suggest to the parents, like this young lady you're talking about that's in a classroom with your daughter, what the parents can be doing to monitor or try and find out if there is something hidden that their child is doing with a phone?
So I think I do a training on this actually for parents, but I think it comes from just having open and honest conversations from the beginning with your child about technology, about expectations from technology. You know, for us in our home, if you live under our roof, your technology is subject to be looked at any time because we pay for it. It's our technology that we allow you to use is kind of the route that we go. So I think having those conversations while still giving your child trust, like my daughter knows that we can check her phone, her Chromebook at any time, but we don't abuse that. We're not looking at it every day, all day.
Sure.
We want her to feel the freedom to make mistakes, to, you know, gain that confidence and that independence. But I think parents need to have a real reality check of what their kids have access to on the phones and checking them frequently enough.
So the young child that goes to school with your daughter, that parent should be checking that phone with that young lady, correct?
Yeah, and her computer should be checking anything, really. You know, I think all parents should be checking things. I heard somewhere that even on, you know, kids' YouTube, I think it's called KidTube, that any child is about 2 to 3 clicks away from finding something inappropriate, not even that they're trying to. They're just stumbling on something that could be perceived as inappropriate. So the access that our kids have to things now with technology is dangerous. And as parents, I don't think we need to be scared, but I think we need to be diligent in just keeping up with our kids, you know, seeing what they're looking at and having those conversations. I don't want my kids to feel shame if they stumble upon something inappropriate or even if they search something inappropriate, but just having those conversations, hey, that's not an appropriate thing to look up. Why do you think you did that? Those kind of things.
So what type of training are you offering right now?
So we're always offering trainings at the CAC that have to do with human trafficking, child sex trafficking. We do trainings that are kind of what we just talked about with technology, technology safety type trainings for parents, educators, anyone that interacts with a child. We think it's best if they know that. And we actually have a training set up for April 11th with all the McHenry County social workers. We're going to be doing a workshop for them, talking about kind of a culmination of all of our trainings, what to do when you suspect a child is being abused, how to handle a disclosure of abuse, because really a child could be telling any of us that they're being abused, and maybe they're not blatantly saying it. So being aware of those types of disclosures, all of that.
So you'd recommend a parent would come to that class?
Not the social workers workshop, but other trainings that we offer. That one specifically is going to be through just for social workers through the school districts in McHenry County. But we offer those same trainings or similar trainings pretty much constantly. Or if somebody wants a training, they can reach out to the CAC, and we create whatever the training is that they need.
So if a mom or dad has a concern like, gee, I'm not sure, but I want to be confident that nothing's going on, they can contact you and you'll give them some tips.
Yep, absolutely. And we do workshops for parents every so often. So we did one in November. We held a free workshop for parents about those specific things to look for. And I'm sure we'll be offering that again.
You mentioned to me there's a new thing called CSAM. CSAM. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So I know earlier I had talked about, you know, pornography. So professionals that work with child abuse victims and survivors, we are changing the narrative on the wording of that. So rather than calling it child pornography, it is being called CSAM, which stands for child sexual abuse material. You know, child pornography is still wildly used by a lot of people, including the public. But pornography, in some ways, when you think of that, it implies some type of consent, right? So not all adults are consenting when they are creating their own pornography. But you kind of think that an adult is consenting if they're in pornography. A child can never consent to any type of sexual interactions with anyone. And so to try to take away that thought that a child is consenting to being part of child pornography, so we're calling it child sexual abuse material, because that is what it is. Someone is creating this material, that of a child being sexually abused.
So where are we today? When you look back, I mean, after the pandemic and all that went on, are you seeing a trend going upwards as far as this abuse, or did it level off, or what? Where are we in the overall scheme of things, Kate?
I think that's hard to report sometimes because it's based on who is reporting the abuse, how frequently people are coming forward, and also if they're finding it. But I will say, I think that after COVID, to answer your question, I think that these offenders got more creative because everything was shut down. And I think that that's why we're seeing the technology-based crimes increasing, or maybe we're just seeing more of them. They're being reported more. So we have certain police officers that in their law enforcement, in their agencies, their departments, they work solely or strictly on these child, you know, these CSAM cases, because they have pings, or they'll work with the NCMEC, that's the National Center of Exploited and Missing Children. They will send, NCMEC will send pings to the local agencies when they get record that someone is accessing an excessive amount of child pornography or CSAM material in McHenry County. And then law enforcement, local law enforcement, will go and research that. So I think that COVID kind of facilitated two things. One, I think people are accessing that material more and unfortunately creating that material more. But on the flip side, I think that NCMEC and local law enforcement are getting smarter and stronger in their capabilities to find those offenders. And because unfortunately, studies have shown that the majority of those that are possessing that CSAM information also are actually committing hands-on sexual abuse offenses against children. And so it's not just, you know, it's not innocent in just viewing pictures.
We're going to pause for just a moment to remind everybody we're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and we're talking with Kate Webster. Kate is the outreach coordinator for the CAC Center in McHenry County. Kate, with these offenders, I know sometimes you see it on the news, and they're not young kids. They're usually middle-aged, older gentlemen that are committing these crimes. Do you think that law enforcement, with all the things they have right now and the modern technology, that we'll be able to catch up with these people on a more frequent basis than what we're doing in the past?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they have made great strides in that. I think that there's a whole network. There has been a network, but I think that they are figuring out how to work that much closer together on a national level and bringing it down to the local level. I know you had asked about since COVID, and I forgot I had this quote. It says that it actually, they said that since 2020 to 2021, so even this might be a little bit outdated because we're in 2023 now, there was a 64% increase in the CSAM material that is being viewed online, being viewed, created, disseminated, sent out, all of that. It's 64% increase from 2020 to 2021. And what happened in 2020 was COVID. And so, you know, people were stuck at home. And so we're definitely still seeing an increase. But like I said, unfortunately, a lot of those offenders are doing the hands-on abuse as well. And so that's kind of what some of our local law enforcement is finding. They're going to respond to a home that NCMEC might have sent, or, you know, one of the national agencies might have sent, hey, this home, this IP address is accessing and viewing and disseminating quite a bit of CSAM. You need to go check it out, or you have enough to arrest. And when they get there, there may be children in the home, and when they take, you know, records or they take the offender's phone, they're finding material of those children on that phone as well. And so it's coming out that, you know, it's not, I don't know if anyone would say that it's innocent to view the child sexual abuse material, but I think that some people think that it's not hurting anyone if they're just viewing a photo and sending a photo. But unfortunately, that's not the reality, because that child is still a person, and it's often another child, if not the same child, is being abused by the people that are viewing those things, if that makes sense.
Are the authorities finding that some of these people are repeat offenders?
Oh, yes. Yep. Absolutely.
So if they're repeat offenders, the is there a reason why we can't just put them away the first time? I mean,
I think that sounds like a good question for the judges and the attorneys, you know. Yeah, I don't disagree. That's kind of some of the harder things, the harder pill to swallow in some of these cases, is because, you know, I think the justice that we want served is maybe not always the justice that is able to be served or is served for whatever reason.
Well, I would think, too, that the anger of the parent when they find out that there's an offender that's, you know, trying to persuade their child to do something, that parent would become somewhat violent, too, because that would really comes close to home when you're trying to take advantage of someone's daughter.
We've definitely had to remind parents at the CAC before, empathize with their feelings and remind them that their child doesn't need an additional trauma of them being in jail also. You know, that there's other ways that we have to trust this process, and that's much easier for us to say than someone that's in there, you know. But I do have a couple percentages that we could read for some of the CSAM, just to give people information.
Sure, let's do it.
So according to a study that was done about the CSAM, again, that's the child sexual abuse material, 56% of the cases that were depicted were prepubescent children. 25% were pubescent children. So apparently they are liking the younger ones better. And 84% of the videos and images that were viewed contained severe abuse. So that's kind of where, you know, when people maybe think that it's innocent, and I'm using that in quotations, it's not. These children are, you know, they're experiencing very severe abuse. And we've had cases that, you know, the parents, when you're talking about them being so mad, we've had cases that they had no idea that CSAM was ever made of their child, ever. And then it came out, you know, 10 years later, because that material was still being disseminated. And the police show up at their door and they're like, did you know that we think that your child was, you know, depicted in this CSAM? And the parents are like, what are you talking about? And they never even knew that their children had been abused, let alone, you know, made pictures and videos of the abuse occurring. So it's a very awful thing. And so our officers are being trained and are trained to really, you know, hunt this down, because people are brave behind their keyboards and behind their computers. But
sure, sure. And so far this year, what's it look like as far as those types of cases, Kate?
I don't know specific numbers, but I know that it's definitely, that's one of the waves that we have right now. Honestly, I think since COVID, that's been a huge wave. We've just seen so many different crimes against against children that involves technology, because that's what we all use right now, right? And so it makes a child more accessible. It makes a child more vulnerable. It makes it easier for these perpetrators to access a child, to send out information about a child. But that's where I really recommend anyone look up NCMEC. NC, National Center for Exploited Missing Children, NCEMC, because they have a hotline or cyber tip line as well on their website. So if you ever suspect a child is being abused, is being a part of, you know, CSAM, anything like that, you can go on the cyber tip line as well.
So they go on that tip line, and it's because they have maybe an inkling that something's going on with their daughter?
Yeah, or it doesn't even have to be their family member. It could be, you know, some random person. Maybe they overheard their child and another child talking, and the child started saying things that just didn't add up and didn't sound right. You know, maybe they were saying they were making videos or whatever it may be. It may not even be that evident. Maybe you just get this, like, bad feeling. You're talking to maybe you're talking to an adult, and an adult starts talking about the videos and pictures that they're viewing, thinking it's innocent enough. That's something that, you know, you can report that to the cyber tip line. Or maybe if you come across it online accidentally, maybe you're going to come across CSAM online and you're like, oh my gosh, how is this on YouTube? How is this anywhere? You can report directly the link that you accessed to the cyber tip line.
You know, I mentioned earlier, we talked quite a bit about young ladies, but I'm sure the same thing is happening with the young boys too.
Yeah, it's definitely both. It's definitely both, especially, you know, the younger boys that are being recorded, they may or may not know, or photos or whatnot. I mean, it's a lot. The number is growing. It said that in 2021, again, my numbers are old. This was the most recent report, so they need to do new ones. But there was more than 29 million reports of suspected child sexual exploitation on online platforms. And of those 29 million reports, 84.9 million images and videos were included in those reports. So the reports have, you know, more than one photo, more than one video, but 84.9 million images and videos were reported in 2021 alone.
What can a parent do? I mean, this is such a monumental task, but are there any special signs they should look for, Kate, that you could recommend to a mom or a dad, especially a mom, because they might be home, they might not be working, or if they are working, it's even more difficult if the mom and dad are both working,
mm-hmm.
and the child comes home. I mean, what's going on? What are some of the things that they can do that would help them to find out what's going on with their child?
So if a child ever, you know, any sudden change in behavior for a child is cause to at the very minimum check in and see what's going on, right? But a lot of times these kids that are being exploited, like if they know that they're sending videos, if they are aware of the things that are being made, they often, you know, pull away from everyone and everything that used to make them feel safe and comfortable. Maybe they're spending excessive amounts of time on their technology and they're really protective over their phone. They're really protective over their computer, like more than what would be age appropriate, more like they're trying to hide something. And hiding something doesn't always mean that they've done something wrong. It may be that they're scared, you know, that the parents are going to find out. And kids often think that they are going to get in trouble for this and they don't realize that they're being exploited, that they're not in trouble for this, you know. And so I think parents just need to be having those open conversations constantly with their kids about it, and checking in on their social media. And if they see any sudden changes, drastic changes in their child's behavior, in their child's conversation about technology, social media, any of that, I think they really need to, you know, check in and see what's going on. And if ever in doubt, you know, they always can call the police. They can always call the CAC and see, you know, if someone is willing or able to talk to them about that directly.
So if they call the CAC, what number would they call, Kate?
Our number is 815-334-9597.
And then when they call, there'll be someone there, an operator. How are they directed?
Yeah, so you can choose who you're going to speak to. It kind of gives you the different names there. It depends. The one thing I do want to point out is the way that we speak to children at the CAC is it has to come in from a report from law enforcement and or DCFS. That's to have an official CAC interview. We do have parents that call and are like, hey, can you come talk to my kids? And so I just want to clarify when I'm saying you can call. You can call us and ask for, you know, help, information. We can give you resources. We can refer you to your police department. We can give you therapy resources. But if there's an actual, like, possible crime that has been committed that you think your child needs to be spoken to, that would need to go through law enforcement. You're still welcome to call us. Parents are still welcome to call us, but that's where we would, you know, tell them to call law enforcement. But we can be reached for, you know, minimal questions they may have, resources that they may need, because sometimes it's just overwhelming and you're not sure where to even start with your child.
Well, sure. They may want to just find out, you know, what I should do or how I should go about it. Do you have any suggestions, things like that? That you
right.
Give them some guidance to see, you know, where it goes from there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we're always open to that. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram account. And so, you know, we check that frequently. You can send messages on there and whatnot.
So if they go to those accounts, what would they log into?
They would just send, so they'd have to have an Instagram and a Facebook account. So if they have their own, then they can just look at the Child Advocacy Center of McHenry County, search that on either platform, and then you would find it and be able to message us there.
So before we close, Kate, is there anything in particular you want to leave with the parents that they should know that maybe would comfort them, to give them some guidance on what they should be doing?
I think just checking in with your kids, keeping the open communication is important. And then, I think that's probably the most important thing, is that they can do that.
Okay. It's interesting to hear these stories and hear what's going on. It's kind of scary in some ways.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming. It can definitely be overwhelming, and that's where we want, you know, parents to not be completely overwhelmed, but understand that there's resources there to help them, and I think that they just need to be aware.
Well, folks, you've been listening to Kate Webster. She's the Education Outreach Coordinator from Child Advocacy Center of McHenry County. Her number again is 815-334-9597. You're listening to Huntley Community Radio. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com, contact us. And you can tune into Around Town. We're 101.5 FM. We want to thank everyone for listening and have a great day.